Psalm chapter 52. Psalm chapter 52. We've been looking at some of these psalms that were their title. In the title, they use the word maskel, and it means instruction. That's what that word means. And tonight, I think we're just going to be looking at some instruction concerning good and evil, or some instruction concerning right and wrong. And it's pretty evident to me that we're reaping the results now in our country, where that fathers have not been fathers. Some of them are not even present in the home. And then even sometimes when they are present in the home, they're allowing electronics and televisions and the internet to raise their children. And God only knows what they're getting a hold of, what they're seeing. And wickedness is being normalized in every circle, but especially in our generation. We're going to look tonight at a man, and David is writing the psalm, but something's going on, Brother Richard. I'm not sure what. I don't know what's going on. It may just be me, but I was ringing. Are the monitors off up here, brother? Are these off? That sounds better. Okay. Let me lower this down a little bit. Maybe that'll work a little bit better. Let's look here and just read the psalm. It's only 9 verses. Psalm chapter 52. Maybe that would help. Amen. Psalm chapter 52. In my Bible, the title is To the Chief Musician, Maskell, a Psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. I hadn't caught this before. I had caught it in the book of Proverbs. I'll come back to that, and we'll turn over there and read a verse or two. The righteous shall also see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengtheneth himself in wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God, and thank you, Lord, tonight for your people that are gathered here. I pray, God, you'll help us have something on the table, Lord, that we might chew on a little while. Help us, our Father, in our hearts and our lives and our homes. Encourage us. God, I pray, Lord, today that, Lord, your will would be done. Save the lost, our Father. Lord, there's many that we've talked to that don't know you. God, I pray you'll help that one that's astray. They know you in the free pardon of sin, but yet they're not fellowshipping with you the way they once were. God, I pray you'll help them. Lord, bless us tonight and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. while I have it on my mind, let's go back down to verse number 6. And the righteous shall also see and fear and shall laugh at him. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 1 with me for just a moment. Now, I saw this years ago, and it really, did you ever see something in the Bible that just shocks you? Well, this shocked me when I first saw it. And let's look at it. And it actually, it parallels what's going on with Doeg in this scripture. The Bible said in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. You see that right there? That's hard to imagine. But there's people mocking God, mocking His Word, mocking His people, mocking the work of the Holy Spirit, and they're laughing at the things of God. But beloved, I'll tell you, they're not going to get the last laugh. I can tell you that right now. God said, I will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. The Bible said in the tribulation hour, they're going to run to the rocks and the mountains. They're going to cry out, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. They're going to realize, too late, but they're going to realize that they've been playing with fire. Amen. And that it's too late. The Bible said, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? In verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But this is so parallel to the scripture we just read. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. We're looking tonight at some instruction concerning good and evil. Let's tonight lay a little bit of background. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel. Let's learn just a little bit tonight about this fellow, Doeg. He is a wicked man. And learn just a little bit about the setting of the psalm tonight. Let's see, we're looking at 1 Samuel, I believe chapter 22 is where we're going tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 22. The Bible tells us over here, let's start reading in verse 3. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he sent unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Now I want you to drop over with me, if you will, along about verse number 16. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand it also is with David. The king here is Saul, because their hand is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. Isn't that something? Amen. Even though they were servants of the king, they probably took to heart that scripture, touch not mine anointed, neither do my prophets no harm. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest. And I want you to listen. And slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. So that's 85 of the priests of the Lord that this wicked man took out. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women. Watch this. This almost sounds like the Hamas coming across the line into Israel, coming across the border into Israel. Nob slew with the edge of Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto him, you talk about hatred. Saul hated David so bad that he's killing the priest just because they didn't reveal to him where David was. The Bible said, and David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. So that's the setting, David is talking about in this Psalm 52. And he said, why boasteth thou self in mischief, O mighty man? Now, I want to say this to you tonight. If you read the entire Psalm, I believe David is interjecting a little bit of sarcasm when he says, O mighty man. Because in other words, when he's killing the priests and he's killing the women and he's killing the children, he looks like a mighty man. But David's going to let him know in this psalm, there's one mightier than you. Amen. It's the God of heaven. And he said, why boasteth thyself in thy mischief? And I want to say this tonight. This man is full of pride. This man thinks he can do whatever he wants to do and get by with it. And I believe there's a lot of people in the world like that today. They're eat up, but they've forgotten that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And he said, why boasteth thyself, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. I think what he's getting at here is a couple of things. Number one, you're not going to go on continually. You have an end. But God and his goodness is going to go on continually. The second thing that I think that David has in mind here in this psalm, and when we're looking at instruction concerning good and evil, the goodness of God has a design about it. God told us in the book of Romans, and knoweth not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. In other words, I believe that God's goodness it should have had an impact on this man's heart and on his life, and it failed to do so. And it wasn't a failure on God's part. It was a failure on Doeg's part. Then when you get to verse number 2, let me just go to another scripture real quick. Isaiah chapter 30. Let me go to this one verse real quick, because before I get into the psalm, I want you to see how that is sin is stacking up. How many remembers that? Now, some of you all were saved as a child, and thank God you were. And some of you, though you weren't saved as a child, you were raised in church and you never really got out in the world. You understand what I mean? But how many of you have either experienced or watched in somebody else's life that sin is like a snowball when you start rolling it up on top of the hill, and it rolls down the hill? The further it rolls, the bigger it gets, and the heavier it gets. Is that not right? Amen. And when it snows again, I saw a snowman on the internet I want to build. He was laying down. I've never seen a snowman laying down. They've always been standing up. But I want to build me a snowman laying down with the grandchildren. Amen. But sin is like that. I mean, when it's let go, here it goes, and here it goes, and here it goes. And I want you to see this verse, because we're going to see it in the text. In Isaiah 30, in verse number 1, Isaiah said, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Watch this, that they may add sin to sin. That's what's going on in Doeg's life. He starts out boasting. He's got pride about him, amen? But then, as you go down through the chapter, he just keeps adding and adding and adding, and we find out over there in the book of Samuel what he did to God's people. He said, thy tongue deviseth mischief, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Turn with me to the book of James for just a moment tonight. I tell you that I believe this is true. I know it's not taught on a whole lot, but I believe this is so, so true in my life and every one of us's life. Notice what the Bible said. First of all, the Bible said in verse number 19 of chapter 1, said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. How many of y'all realize that normally we're just backwards of that, ain't we? We're quicker to speak and slower to hear. A man was having trouble out of his teenage son, and he looked at his son and he said, son, there's a reason that God gave you two ears and one mouth. And the son looked back at his dad. He said, I guess that's why I have to talk twice as fast. He didn't get it, did he? Amen. God give us two ears to listen with. And the Bible said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now go to chapter 3. The Bible talks about here in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And for every kind of beast, and of birds, and serpents, and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. You all have heard the saying, I know you have, that you've heard it maybe about a politician or maybe about a slick-tongued preacher somewhere. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. Nobody's ever heard that saying. And that's what it's talking about here. There's the fountain. It's either going to bring forth sweet water or it's going to bring forth bitter water. And Doeg had a wicked tongue about him. And David is exposing that when he's instructing us concerning good and evil. I don't know about you. Years ago, I've preached messages that God spoke to my heart about, many of them, right straight out of the Bible. One time, I can't remember what it was, but I read something on the wall in the office of a funeral home. God spoke to my heart. The whole series of messages I preached here at the church on knocking holes in the darkness, I wasn't reading the Bible. I was reading a biography about a man, and it told the story, and that's where it came from. But I remember years ago, Brother Houston, I was just simply looking at a can, and on the can it said, contents under pressure. And I preached on the subject, contents under pressure. You know, people are under pressure. Amen. And sometimes you want, why in the world do they act like that? Or why don't they smile? You know, we never know what people are going through in this walk of life. Amen. But one of the things I brought out in that message on contents under pressure, I was talking about the pressure that we're living under, is that a hot water heater has something on it called a pop-off valve. There's two things that can cause that thing to pop off: temperature and pressure. And they really go hand in hand. When the temperature rises too much, then the pressure rises, and it will relieve the pressure rather than cause the hot water heater to explode. If you had a plug in that, something's going to give, amen? But you know what I said? Mankind has a pop-off valve. Right there it is. We get under pressure, and if we're not careful, say amen. Just like old Doeg, amen, it'll pop off. And you know, sometimes I wish it wasn't this way, but we're more apt to pop off on somebody that we love, somebody that we're close to, than we are a perfect stranger. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. We get under that pressure. And so he said, thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. I had a fellow that I used to know, and I said, well, I still know him, but I said, but thank God Jesus changed his life. I'll say that. Amen. But there was a time in his life, I said this, I said he'd rather climb a telephone pole, stand on his head and tell you a lie, as to stand on the ground and tell you the truth. Amen. And I believe some people tell a lie so many times they start believing it. You're nodding your head, Sister Debbie. You got somebody in mind. It ain't Mike, is it? Oh, okay. Amen. Just so we know where we stand. Amen. We're just making sure. Amen. Amen. But there are people in life like that. And we ought to learn, amen, that God, he's not in favor of this. He hates it. The deceitful tongue, the lying tongue. Now in verse number 5, we see the sowing in the first few verses here, but we're going to see the reaping in verse number 5. I believe the Bible is correct when it says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen? I believe that's right. There's the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you always reap after that you sow. And the Bible said here in verse number 5, God shall likewise destroy thee. You say, Pastor, what is he going to reap? Number one, destruction. That's what's in verse number 5. God shall likewise destroy thee. Do you see, oh mighty man, with that question mark, how I think there's some sarcasm in that? Because David knows, honey, there's one mightier than you. There's one mightier than me. He's the King of glory, amen. God shall likewise destroy thee. So we see that he's going to reap destruction. And then he said, he shall take thee away. And I wrote the word distance. There's going to be a distance. Remember in the book of Proverbs, what we read a little while ago, God said, you're going to seek me, but you can't find me. Why? Because when I was speaking to you, you disregarded my word. You disregarded my counsel. You just blew it off. Amen. And so there's a distance. I said this for years when I was preaching in the prison. The worst thing about prison is the distance, the separation. The men can't hold their wives. They can't hold their children. Amen. Now in some of the, I guess, the lesser security prisons, maybe the lesser crimes, they'll have a visitation on Sunday afternoon, and then even some of the men that are well-behaved may get a visit with their wife every once in a while. But listen, it's not like coming home to your wife every day, amen, like having your children and wallowing them every day and your grandchildren. So there's a distance. There's destruction that he's going to reap. There's distance that he's going to reap. And then the Bible said, they're going to pluck thee out of thy dwelling place. Listen, this world is not our home. Let me tell you something else. I've never thought about this. This world's not the lost man's home either. He's headed to another dwelling place. Amen. And listen to me. This world, the worst that this world has to offer is better than what hell has to offer. outer darkness, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. The distance, you remember over there in the book of Luke where the rich man, he lifted his eyes in hell and there was a great gulf between him and where Lazarus and Abraham was. Well, let me say this. After Jesus rose again, the gulf got greater. Because now, beloved, no longer is there paradise. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so the distance is even greater. They're in a different dwelling place. And then if you'll notice, the Bible said, and root thee out of the land of the living. And I wrote the word death. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Isaiah 53, I'll show you why that word came to my mind. Isaiah chapter 53, at one time I had this chapter memorized. The Bible said, I'm just going to start reading and we'll get to it in a minute. All we like sheep, verse 6, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Here it comes. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Hey, listen, we should never forget that what's going on here permanently in Doeg's life, he's going to be cut off. But it went on, beloved, in the life of our Lord Jesus. He was cut off for time so that you and I wouldn't have to be cut off for eternity. Amen. He took our place on the cross of Calvary and out of the land of the living. Let's move on. In verse number 6, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. That's what I hadn't seen. I had seen God mocking the wicked that rejected him, but I had never seen mankind or the saints of God laughing. Amen. I wonder. I can see it now. I mean, can you imagine, Brother Junior, some of those saints of God that were burned at the stake and boiled in oil and drawn with a horse? They take a horse and tie a rope to this arm, and another horse tie a rope to that arm, and another horse and tie a rope to that ankle, and another horse, and just let the horses start walking in different directions, just pull a body literally in two. Can you imagine those that were standing around watching that and laughing and mocking while that child of God that would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ? No doubt, beloved, listen, even when they stoned Stephen to death, I guarantee you there's people standing in the shadows, amen, saying, "Where's your Jesus now?" But I tell you, there'll be a day when Stephen will get to laugh, amen, at that mob, amen. There'll be a day when Samson will get to laugh at the Philistines, amen, that mocked the Word of God. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm on the right side of this psalm, amen. This instruction concerning good and evil. Watch this now in verse 7. This all, verse 7 is going to give us a reason. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. That's the reason he's in the mess he's in. By the way, I don't believe it's a stretch at all. That's the reason our country's in the mess it's in. There was a time when God was our strength. This is the man that made not God his strength. But what did he do? He trusted in the... Boy, oh boy, look at that. What happened after the wars? God blessed us. We became an industrial nation. We were making things and building things. And every other thing you picked up off the shelf didn't say made in China. And God blessed us. because we were a working people and we were a God-fearing people. I'm not saying everybody was saved, but beloved, in those days, a lost man had more respect for this property than saved people do today. They feared. They feared God. The Bible said this man made not God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches. What is it now in America? Are we $30 or $31 trillion in debt? I heard on the radio today that in 2010, we were $10 trillion in debt. That's just 14 years. And it's exploded, hasn't it? I believe, I can't remember the figures, but it would blow your mind to think about the interest that we're paying on the debt. We're upside down. We've not made God our strength, and we trusted in the abundance of our riches. That's what Doeg did. And then the Bible said, and strengthened himself in wickedness. Beloved, is that not what we've done? Alcohol, drugs, illicit sex, same sex, strengthened ourselves in wickedness. I'll say this, I don't glory in it. I've got children and grandchildren. But America's day is coming. I mean that. You just think for just one moment if we didn't have electricity for a week. You see, you can't pump gas. You can't cook in the house. You don't have lights. Your refrigerators and your freezers are done. I'm just telling you, beloved, I did hear this the other day, and I can remember these figures. China's got 50 men or women that's specializing in the hacking business. 50 to our one. I'm not real smart, but that's not good odds. 50 to one. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. People will be at each other's throats. You think the stealing's bad now. You think the killing's bad now. I don't want it to happen, but we need to change course. We need to turn once again to the God of our fathers. The Bible said they strengthened himself in his wickedness. My dad would say something like this, "Son, that's enough talking about the bad stuff. Talk about something good." That sound like him, Eddie? Talk about something good, son. Well, let's look at these last two verses. David said, but, you all done learned I love that word in the Bible, don't you? Just like a hinge on a door. David said, let me show you something else here. I've shown you the evil. Now let me show you the good. But I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I thank God. The psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Watch this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what David's saying. He's saying, he's like a dead twig that's about to catch on fire, but I'm like a green olive tree. How many's ever tried to burn green wood? That's a mess, ain't it? Amen. You better let that wood season out. Amen. That green olive tree, it represents a couple of things. Number one, it represents life. And number two, it represents longevity. One of the favorite things about going to Israel, it was 95 when I was able to go to Israel. There was a couple in Kingsport paid my way to go to Israel. And one of my favorite things, there were several, but one of them was the Garden of Gethsemane and olive trees, Brother Junior, that were over 2,000 years old. And as you go through there, I'm telling you, it blessed me. Could this be a tree where our Lord knelt down under this tree and talked to his Father? That blessed me. Say amen. That I could be right there standing under the same tree that my Lord knelt under. I'm telling you, it was a blessing. David said, it's different in my life. He said, I'm like a green olive tree. And I thank God for this. He didn't, listen, trust in the abundance of his riches, but he's in the house of God. He's trusting in the God of all grace. Amen. What was it the Bible said that, let's see if I can get it started, ye through his poverty were made rich. I can't get the whole verse. Anyway, we're rich tonight, not because of dollar bills, silver and gold, but we're rich tonight in the grace of God and the things that really matter. The Bible said here, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Back, I was talking about America and the wars. I tell you, many men will testify today that the reason they're alive is a praying mother. Somebody back here in the States praying for them, praying for their safety, trusting in the mercy of God forever and ever. And then David said this as he closes out. He said, I'll praise thee forever because thou hast done it. You see, you don't have a man here full of pride. You have a man here, Brother Gary, that's humble. He said, God, I didn't do it. You did. Amen. I believe there was a time, Brother Houston, when America looked at it like that. God, we didn't do it. You did. You blessed our country. Amen. And now we've got to have this national anthem and that national anthem. Now we've got people that will kneel on the sidelines while the flag's being flown and the national anthem's being sung. I'm telling you, beloved, patriotism just about dead in this country that we live in. We need help. David said here, I'll praise thee because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. How many can say it's good tonight? It's good. Good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good. John, let's see, James and John and James and Peter. Peter and James and John is the way you normally say it. They were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus transfigured on that mount. They heard the voice. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Peter spoke up and said, it's good for us to be here. Amen. I say tonight, to be in the house of God, it's good for us to be here. Everybody except Liam. Amen. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen.